on the first panel of the day. My name is Mark Henry. I'm not Jeff Nelson, but I'll play one on TV today. Jeff Nelson of the Intercollegiate Studies Institute is unfortunately down with acute bronchitis, and so I'm subbing. My name's Mark Henry, and at ISI conferences, one of my practices is when it's time for something to start, I actually physically herd the students into the room, like a sheepdog. And I hope that we don't need to have that happen today, and so that we can keep things on a fast clip. Our first panel today is the Conservative Intellectual Movement Revisited, Sources of Success. Last night, Stan Evans mentioned two things he thought he'd never see, Elton John singing in Westminster Abbey and the fall of communism. I had my own Elton John experience earlier this week, something I never thought I'd see. The new catalog of the University of Chicago Press, which as you know is a great and often conservative academic press, responsible for the publication of Weaver's Ideas Have Consequences, Strauss's Natural Right and History, I believe Voegelin's New Science of Politics. And this new catalog of this great press had as its featured book of the season a new biography of Liberace, which is a new contribution to queer studies. So there are things that you thought you'd never see, and that was one that I saw, which makes you wonder about the notion of conservative success, which is the premise of the topic today, especially so since the Republican Party in the decade of the 90s seems to have learned nothing and forgotten everything from the Reagan experience. Hopefully that will not be true this year. But such indicators of gloominess have to be kept in context. And here I always like to remember a story which Russell Kirk used to tell of a Chicago street gang in the 1950s who were called not the Sharks or the Bloods, but the Conservatives. So fearsome and rare and exotic animal did conservatives seem at that time. Looking around the room now, I have to say that it's true that we remain an often exotic bunch, but we're certainly not as rare as we used to be. And what an achievement that really is. An achievement that in the land of novus ordo seclorum, the land of self-creation, the new world in which everything is ever new, to find after two centuries not a scattering of prophetic conservative voices, but a conservative movement with a mass base in American politics. How could that be? And that's a great achievement. It's something that would not have been foretold by Jefferson, who expected the world to be entirely Unitarian by the death of the last living person of his lifetime. So there's something new in American politics, and it's something that we have a right to be proud about. Why this success? For my part, I believe it is because conservatives have seen an important truth, and they've had the courage to speak that truth, even in the face of ridicule. That truth in particular that I have in mind is that, broadly speaking, modernity is a problem. And I think this is something that's been at the heart of a lot of conservative theorizing in the last generation. Modern democratic legitimation theories of the state have cleared away nearly all the barriers to the growth of state power. The modern privatization of religion has led to a kind of practical atheism, which paves the way for practices which are frankly unworthy of the dignity of man. The modern liberal rights regime has spawned an individualist ethos hostile to community. Unsupported by public orthodoxy, modern families face a crisis when they attempt to raise their children with the virtues necessary to citizenship and to human beings as such. And the erosion of social capital calls forth greater need for state power, and thus greater state power. Left liberalism's response to this bill of particulars consists of intellectual parlor tricks, gross evasions, and arguments that simply miss the point. Since liberalism understands itself as the party of justice, those who oppose liberalism must be committed to injustice, QED. But Americans, and all modern peoples know in their bones that the liberal story is not the whole story. It is when we think about and talk about the missing part of the story that conservatives have met and will meet with success. For what we see and what we say is true. So that's my bit. And now I can introduce the panelists to you, who I'm sure will offer various views. We'll have three speakers today. Each will have 20 minutes, and I'll be modestly tyrannical about keeping the 20-minute barrier intact. Our first speaker will be Leonard Leggio, who is the Distinguished Senior Scholar at the Institute for Humane Studies and a research professor at the Law School at George Mason University. He's also, as many of you know, the Executive Vice President of the Atlas Economic Research Foundation and now Executive Director of the International Freedom Project. Leonard Leggio is an institution himself in the conservative movement and has been responsible for the building up of many key institutions in the movement. He will be speaking on F.A. Hayek and the classical liberal tradition. Stephen Tonser is well known to us all as an emeritus professor of intellectual history at the University of Michigan, an associate editor and frequent contributor to the pages of Modern Age, and as someone who always has something controversial to say, and so not least at Philadelphia Society meetings. And so we look forward to what he has to say. Finally, Gordon Brady is senior research fellow at the Center for the Study of Public Choice at George Mason University. Immediately prior to this position, he served for 2 years as director of the Law and Economics Center at George Mason University School of Law. He has his PhD from Virginia Polytechnic and a master's in law from Yale Law School. And so, to begin, I give you Leonard Leggio.